Amen. Hope College, while you're finding your seat, just want to offer up an invitation, particularly to men. My wife and I are leading an immersion trip in the spring to a place called the Big Easy. It's also more widely known as New Orleans, Louisiana. And we have a lot of women, praise the Lord for the women, who have signed up. But we're looking for some dudes. So if you're interested, you can go to Campus Ministries website. You can sign up. You can email me or Nancy Smith. We'd love to have you join us on that trip or any of the other trips, too. There's some other openings as well. So I have the privilege this morning to have my scripture reader is Erica Tolbert. Yeah. Erica is on the basketball team. She's from Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. Any other folks from y'all? All right, a little bit. All right, she's a sophomore business management major, and she's going to read the Word of God today.
Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
Praise the Lord. This is the Word of the Lord. Thanks, Erica. Y'all give it up for Erica. For those of you who perhaps pay attention to cereal commercials, maybe you have heard of this one that began in the 1950s. The magic of its enduring claim to fame is the very last scene when one or more squirrely, snickering youngsters would say to this iconic, cartoonish rabbit, whose many attempts at inclusion prior to this moment had failed, they would say this. They would say, "Silly rabbit, tricks are for kids." Now, surely this is just a marvelous marketing maneuver by General Mills that is meant in jest, right? Because they clearly will take the money of adolescents or adults who want to partake of their sugary sensation. But I do think that there are some parallels between this famous line of the commercial and God's word for us today. So from this point forward, speaking no longer of cereal, but rather of immature, foolish ways, I want to submit to you that yes, tricks are for kids. T-R-I-C-K-S. Tricks are for kids. The question before you today is, are you a kid or are you an adult? A young adult, I get it. But are you a kid or are you an adult? It's no secret that Proverbs 31 is about godly wives. The poetry describes them as not only more precious, but as far more precious than jewels. That's awesome. Far more precious than jewels. They are inventive and industrious, these godly wives. They are clothed in majesty and strength and dignity, saturated with wisdom and kindness. And if called upon, this godly woman, she can be, sure enough, a mover and shaker in the marketplace. Yet, first and foremost, she looks to the ways of her household, is what the text says. And then in verse 30, we encounter a caution. We encounter a caution about vanity and deceit. Someone has written, "Charm deceives because it promises a lifetime of happiness based on it." Charm deceives because it promises a lifetime of happiness based on it. And that's why beauty is vanity and charm is rooted in deceit. So whatever applauded outward assets she may have will remain, not remain that way exactly, that same kind of way forever. Stress, amen, somebody. And motherhood, amen, somebody. And gravity, amen, somebody. All of it has a way of making sure that it will not stay the same, I'm just saying. A relationship that is built primarily on looks fails before it ever really begins. The idea here is that women who fear God are different. Y'all say that with me. Different. Different. Y'all say it a little louder. Different. Different. Women who fear God are different. unlike those of the world, they don't use what they got to get what they want. Y'all follow me? They don't use what they got to get what they want. And I'm not talking about academics. They do not offer snapshots and Snapchats or full-fledged samples of their distinctly feminine frame in the open or in secret. This is not Costco's. This is not Sam's. They know of their worth in Christ, that the husband God sends to them, while attracted to her body, show enough. He will value much more than just that about them. He'll be committed to loving her as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her in order to make her holy by cleansing her with the washing of the water by the word. Check Ephesians 5, 21 through 33, hashtag I believe it. Women of Hope, I want to challenge you to keep your standards rooted in the Bible. Allow God to lead you to a man who, in pursuing you, in loving you, will not focus on what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. While Proverbs 31 is about women, I think it is primarily for men, particularly men who hope to someday become husbands. You see these instructive motifs throughout the text, stressing that this man needs to be a man of righteous action, of sacrifice, of compassion, and of servant leadership. There are no shortcuts, no video game cheat codes to that process. So men of Hope, y'all feel me? Y'all give me some of this. Y'all feel me? Men of Hope, I need you right here. Lend me your ears. Tricks are for kids, and what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So if you desire a woman who fears the Lord, and you should, then how about you raise your spiritual antenna higher towards heaven? How about you refuse yourself to play games of deceit and vanity? Y'all not gonna help me here today. I challenge one person. There you go. I want to challenge you men to not be a young man like Samson, who, though he was intelligent and strong, the brother was a temperamental, womanizing fool. I get it. I feel you. You may look like a man. Puberty may have put some bass in your voice, so you kind of sound manly. But I'm just going to give it to you straight. If you treat women as objects to toy around with and to toss to and fro, you are merely a boy cross-dressing as a man. So I'm going to challenge you today, young men of Hope. I want you to get some character, right? I want you to get some substance, some quality in your life. And the way to do that, I would submit, is to get Jesus. If you want to talk to me about it later, holler at me. I'm over in the Keppel House. A woman who becomes a wife needs a man who becomes a husband who is worthy of her devotion, who will not exploit the brokenness and pain that she may carry, but will help to be part of the healing process. If she struggles to accept her body for what it is, then he encourages her. If faith maybe is arduous, if it's challenging for her, he prays with her, he prays for her. If she perhaps has been victimized by the lie that all men are dogs, then he leads by example that he is not some wild canine who is sowing his wild oats. So men, I beg of you, let your life song be this from Scripture. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, man, I put an end to childish ways. Did y'all hear me when I said tricks are for kids? Scripture says that for all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the pride in riches comes not from the Father, but from the world. And so, ladies, sometimes I'm just going to be honest. Fellas, you know, we sometimes have ants in our pants, and sometimes guys are intoxicated by cleavage. I'm just going to be honest. And they're intoxicated by everything that's skin tight and revealing. And it fuels this underdeveloped, cheap interpretations of beauty that men sometimes have. I'm just being honest. To their shame, some guys, ideally, they think that, you know, well, I mean, some part of her body is supposed to look like Nicki Minaj. And another part of her body, maybe like her facial features, are supposed to look like Selena Gomez or Scarlett Johansson. And then, you know, she's supposed to have a sense of humor like Amy Schumer. And she's supposed to have a voice like Adele. I mean, you know, it's just that's how sometimes they think. So women, I want you to listen to me. You cannot change someone who is okay with being a boy. You can't do it. You cannot change someone who is okay with being a boy. So guard your heart and all your parts. Guard your heart and all your parts, waiting as long as necessary for the Spirit to work on you and whomever God may lead you to marry, if you marry at all, because it's not a promise. And men, lastly, the text says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I know that it is not easy, but do not settle men for the scraps of manhood, for these weak interpretations of what it means to be a man. You just go off doing whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. That's not what being a godly man is about. There are those who will tell you things like nice guys or godly guys finish last. They'll say that you must sell your soul in order to find a good godly wife. And to that, I want to leave you with five words. The devil is a liar. Go in peace.